I'm Lisa Ledeen. The tiny shorebird, the western snowy plover, makes its nest in sand along the coast, a habitat that's been compromised by development and activity on the beach. For more than two decades, the snowy plover has been listed as threatened under the Endangered Species Act. As efforts are made to help the bird population recover and get off the list, the Monterey Bay area stands out as a bright spot. KAZU's Krista Almanzon reports.
Carlton Eister walks up a sand dune toward the water at Moss Landing State Beach.
So you might hear white-crowned sparrows as we crest the dune here.
He has binoculars around his neck and a scope mounted on a tripod in his hand.
This is our birding scope, which a lot of people mistake for a camera, so I'm often taken for a bird photographer.
Eister is actually a biologist with the nonprofit Point Blue Conservation, which has research programs in the works all over, from Alaska to Antarctica. On the Monterey Bay, Point Blue has been monitoring the western snowy plover for more than 30 years. Carlton has been at it for 20.
And this is the area that is cordoned off seasonally from March through September, and that's exactly where the snowy plovers are breeding.
We start walking along that cable fence on the beach side of the dune looking for plovers. He's one of five Point Blue biologists on the bay whose focus is this tiny shorebird. They monitor the bird at least 5 days a week during their season, keeping track of nest location, number of eggs, how many make it to adulthood, and figuring out why so many don't.
Probably in the egg stage, it's predators, red fox, northern harrier, red-tailed hawks. Human disturbance is certainly a factor.
We come upon a typical nest, a clutch of three eggs resting in the sand. The birds will incubate these eggs out here in the open for 28 days. If they hatch, it will take another 30 days before the new snowy plovers can fly. It's a vulnerable 2 months.
And a male, if he can fledge one chick, in other words, get one chick to flying age, then that's going to get you a stable population.
And Eister will be there to see if that happens. He'll then mark each new plover with unique color-coded tags and continue to watch them throughout their lives. All this monitoring helps public and private land managers know things like where to put up cable fencing and which predators are a threat.
There's no way that this bird is going to be delisted without those type of partnerships.
Jim Watkins is with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. He leads the snowy plover recovery from his office in Arcata. The recovery plan for the bird was finalized in 2007. The goal is to maintain an average of 3,000 breeding adults for 10 years between Washington State and Southern California.
The areas where we've had the most reproductive success, the most hatching, and also hatching that results in chicks fledging, being able to be recruited into the breeding population, have been the Monterey Bay area and also up in the state of Oregon.
The recovery unit, as they're called, that includes Monterey Bay, has met its goal of 400 breeding adults 4 out of the last 7 years, whereas some other units have never reached their goal. Watkins says others have varying challenges, large areas to cover, less staff to monitor, and in Southern California, lots of people out enjoying the beach, which Eister points out can happen with enough resources.
For instance, there's a large wintering flock at Seabright Beach, and people wonder how that could be, but there's one of our largest flocks, up to 100 or more birds, winters there every year, in spite of all the people and dogs.
The estimate for delisting the western snowy plover is 2047. But as new threats emerge, like sea level rise, both Watkins and Eister see this bird as being dependent on conservation for its survival. Krista Almanzon, KAZU News.